Take your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read verses 13 through 19 together. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. Now, I've preached two sermons about Christmas. I'm not going to preach on Christmas on Christmas. I just don't want to think it's the right thing tonight. I'm going to jump into another topic, but it is related to Jesus, so you'll be okay, all right? Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start in verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Tonight, I want to talk to you about the church. In a special way, though, I call this the church and your family. The church and your family. This is a time of the year when families spend extra time together. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's not so good. It's a time that we get to try to enjoy the extra time with people that we love. Now, listen to this. Not everybody has that opportunity. Sometimes people that we love have passed in the last year. Sometimes families have been torn apart in other ways. So not everybody has that opportunity the way others of us have. Sometimes, in the case, I'll just use my family. I have brother and sister-in-law and all their family in Florida. My mom and dad go to the Florida for 3 or 4 months in the wintertime because it's too cold up here for them, and they go down there. Spend some time with the grandkids and the kids down there. Spend time with us during the warmer months up here. I understand that. I was not with my mommy and my daddy today. Guess what? I have my church. See, these are also times to remember those who've gone on before us. Many of you, I was thinking of Brother Taylor this morning, and I thought an awful lot about Brother Taylor and the fact that his dear wife went to heaven several years ago. I was thinking of Brother Logue and the fact that he's lost his dad, and Brother York lost his mama, and others that have lost loved ones here in our church. Now, wait a minute. Christmas time can be a hard time. This seems to be a time to look back at old memories at those who have gone before us. I didn't say it, because just about every year we do, but we were sitting at the lunch table today, and somebody was passing the rolls to somebody, and I thought of my grandfather. You had to know my grandfather. He would have been as close to Gordon Taylor as you could get, trust me. Just a happy-go-lucky feller. You didn't want to cross him, but just a good, jolly, old kind of fella. When my whole family got together, it could get tense. Well, it was getting to be one of those tense moments, and my grandfather was at one end of the table. There must have been 20 or more of us at the table. And one of my aunts or uncles was at the far end of the table, and they said, "Dad, can you toss us the rolls?" My grandfather reached up, grabbed one, and down the table it went. It hit that gravy bowl just right. Flipped the spoon out of the gravy bowl, and gravy went right in their face. That must have been 40 years ago. I still remember it. So when somebody says, "Pass the rolls around," my family, duck. That's all I can tell you. I remembered that today. There's some sweet memories like that that we have. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. This is not the time of the year to depress yourself over what you miss. It's a time to rejoice in what you did have. Did you catch that? There are people today who are so depressed and so freaked out, so weirded out, and so down in the mully grubs, and they could suck the carpet without using the vacuum cleaner and get the dirt up. Their lower lip could be used for a welcome mat because, oh, well, it's me. I don't have this, and I don't have that, and boy, I miss this, and I miss that. Once you use the time and rejoice over what you did have rather than being depressed about what you don't have. No matter what your situation, church can become family for all of us.
Amen.
Let me say that again. No matter what your situation, church can become family for all of us. You see, for some of us, we're closer to our church friends than we are our own family. I don't mean this the wrong way, but I am closer to many of you, my brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ, than I am my own physical brother. I spend more time with your kids, and I don't even know my nieces and nephew. You say, you're not a real good uncle. Well, I live about 1,100 miles away from them. I might see them once every 2 years, talk to them on the phone a couple times a year, text back and forth a little bit, and we love each other, but I spend far more time with you all. I know your children better than I know my own brother's children. I know you better than I do my own brother. I know my brother from 30 years ago, but I don't know him as well now, but I know you far better. This has become my family. Now, listen to this very carefully. The church is a big family. God is our Father. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. That makes us a family. You see, church is a place where you can have Christmas 365 days a year. Did you realize that? To me, it's a shame that we only celebrate Christmas once a year. And to the world, it's just a money-making venture. And by the way, it's still Christmas, not just happy holidays to me. It's about Jesus, not about inclusion of all religions. That's just the way it is. Now, we are family and share family life at church. This auditorium is kind of like the family room where we come visit Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. This is where we come to hear the, don't take this the wrong way, the Father speak through me. I ain't dressing like Mama as I talk from the Father, amen? Whew. I ain't wearing no bathrobe. All right. This is the place where we come to get strength. This is the place where we come to get help. This is the place where we come to get advice. This is the place where we come to laugh and to regain strength to go back out and make it in the world.
Amen.
Folks, that's what church is all about. Do you know we're supposed to be concerned about each other just as we are our own families? I was talking to Brother Bob Kellerman, called me today, and he had two major tests run this week for his health. And he called me and said, "Preacher, just wanted to wish you Merry Christmas." And I talked to him for a few minutes to see how things went. You know what? That's what family's all about, isn't it? He said, "Preacher," he said, "I felt so bad." He said, "I knew you were painting." He said, "And I couldn't paint because I had these procedures I had to get done." And he said, "But I'm going to come inspect it on Sunday morning. I'm going to put my blue stickers everywhere where it needs fixed, all right?" And I said, "Well, you put the sticker up, you're going to fix it." He said, "Come on, man, that's not what I was talking about." Oh, wait a minute. That's called being family. That's called being family. Now, let me give you 3 points and no poem. Number one, church will teach you to love your family. Amen. Church is a place to learn how to love your family. Take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 5. It's Wednesday night Bible study. We're going to use our Bible just a little bit tonight, so keep your fingers ready. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 21. The Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me say this. The church is a place for husbands and wives to learn how to love each other. Fellas, your wife is not a slave.
Yes, sir.
She is supposed to submit, but she's supposed to submit because you love her so much, not because she has to.
Amen.
I'm just going to tell it like it is.
Yes,
she didn't say, I do, for you to say, then do it. Let me ask you a question. How does Christ love the church? And then look at your marriage, and how do you love your wife? Now, ladies, I was trying to help you on that one, all right? I know you can't say amen, but you can do this or something, all right? Poke him in the ribs or something, all right? Now, wait a minute. Ladies, you're supposed to be submissive. By the way, submissive doesn't mean that you're nothing. Fellas, your wife is not a welcome mat that you wipe your feet on, and she's not the towel in the bathroom that you dry your hands on either. She's not a slave. She is. You are to leave your mommy and daddy and cleave to her. You weren't supposed to just use her as a play toy and play with her when you want and throw her aside when you're too busy to do something else. But at the same time, ladies, you're supposed to be submissive. Now, that doesn't mean, listen to this statement very carefully. Submission does not mean you don't have an opinion. It means you don't fight for your opinion. Did you catch that?
Yes.
I was an assistant pastor for 24 years. Trust me, I know what the word submit means. I know what that word means. There's times with every one of my bosses I disagreed. Nobody will ever know what those times were. Say why? I'm a human being. I have the right to have a different opinion. There are times I led things I disagreed with. Guess what? Most time I found out I was wrong anyway. Everybody doing okay? All right. So the Bible teaches us how to get along with one another. By the way, look at verse 21 again. The Bible said, submitting yourselves one to another. Fellas, that doesn't mean she's the only one that's supposed to submit. That means you're supposed to slow down, get it through your thick head, and at least listen to her. She might have a valid point. She might have some input worthy of you at least listening to. It says, submit yourselves one to another. Wow. We'll preach that sermon later. All right. The church teaches us to love our children. Look at Ephesians, same book, just a page over, maybe. Chapter 6, look at verse number 4. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, we're not supposed to bring our children up to fight with them. It says, provoke not your children to wrath. Do you know there are some things that parents have to do that they know is going to cause tension? Okay, that doesn't mean you'll never have tension. But there are some things you shouldn't do just to create the tension. Everybody doing okay? Let me help some of you that have teenage children. Those of you that have little children, enjoy it. It gets rough. Those of you that have adult children, you know what I'm about to say here. Adult children's problems are worse than any problems in the world because they have adult problems. They're bigger and more expensive. And their results last a whole lot longer. It's harder having adult children than it is having little children. Believe me. You parents of teenagers, listen very carefully. There are some battles, and by the way, when they hit junior high, I'm not sure what they are. There's some creature that crawls in their head and sucks their what little brain they had out, and they don't find it again for about 3 years. All right? It just goes. Eventually, they get it back. You hope. Okay? But just something happens. But those of you that have teenagers, listen carefully. There are some battles you just need to fight. But there are some things your kids want to do that aren't sinful. My daughter is 16 and starting to drive. I've taught both my boys to drive. No problem. I don't mind teaching my daughter to drive. My wife knows what I'm about to say. I haven't said it. I haven't said it in front of my daughter. It's hard for me to sit on the other side of the car while my daughter drives. I don't like my wife driving me. I don't want any woman chauffeuring me around. It's just hard on me. So I got to keep training myself. You got to let her drive. My male ego says, I ain't letting no woman drive me. Especially one that's not even a woman yet. It's just in there. Now, there's nothing sinful about it. It's just, that's the way I grew up. If the man was able to drive, he drove. That's just the way it was. My dad's that way. My grandparents were that way. That's just the way it was when I grew up. I had a kidney stone and wanted to drive myself to the hospital, and my wife about beat me in the head. I drove from work home with the kidney stone with her in the passenger seat. When it was time to go to the hospital, she said, it's either I drive or I call 911. I said, get the keys, because I was not going to go in an ambulance. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says don't provoke your children to wrath. Some of you know what buttons to push to make your kids mad, and some of you do it on purpose. Some of you are just too stubborn to give in. You know what? I shouldn't be too stubborn to let her learn how to drive. There might come a time where I need her to. She needs to. I had to teach my wife how to drive. Her parents didn't make her. She was 24, 25 years old before she ever got her driver's license. I taught her to drive on a 4-speed stick shift on an Escort, amen? And when she stalled it right in the middle, Brother and Mrs. Hawkins, you know this intersection, on Remount Road and North Rhett. She stalled that thing in the middle of that intersection, one of the busiest intersections in North Charleston. People honking their horns all over the place. I said, start the car and do it again. Stalled it again. I said, they can't go anywhere. Just keep getting going. I don't care what they're saying. You can't hear them anyways. All you hear is, burr, burr, burr. Don't worry about it. That burr, burr, burr was getting rid of what we could not hear and did not want to hear. Amen? Now, wait a minute. There's been times I'm glad they could drive. They need that independence. Some of you dads fighting with a teenage boy right now because he wants to be independent like you. Guess what? You're fighting him from being independent. Quit holding him back. Okay, moving on. Number three. Church is a place to learn to teach children to obey their parents. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. And by the way, the word children there does not mean adult. I'm 46 years old. Listen to this statement. I don't have to obey my mommy and daddy. I have a 22-year-old and a 18-year-old. Do you know what? They don't have to obey daddy. Both in college. Now, if they're going to come live in my house, they're going to obey my rules. But you know what? They don't have to obey daddy. Now, that one still does. But the other two don't have to. Do you know what the only influence I have with those two young men are right now? Influence. That's it. If I can persuade them and lean them the right direction, I can't force them. Everybody doing okay? Okay. But children are supposed to obey their parents. They're supposed to honor their mom and dad. I can't honor my mom and dad. I'm so proud of my boys. I haven't even told them yet. But I watched them love on their mama this week in an unbelievable way. In a manly way. Say, what'd you get? I didn't need nor want nothing, but I watched my boys turn into men this week on how they treated their mama. Wow. That was the best present I got all week. Amen. Say why? Because they got it. They got it. And I loved it. And I was proud of them for it. You know, the Bible says also, according to Ephesians 4:32, look at Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Church is a place to learn how to forgive. Church is a place to learn how to forgive and to be forgiven. Guess what? Everybody look this way. Someday, there's going to be a sinner get up here and sing. Matter of fact, every one of them that got up and sang have been sinners. My Bible says, for all have sinned. Well, I know what so-and-so did in the past. You know what? You don't know as much as you think you know. And guess what? If they've been saved, it's all forgiven. It's under the blood. And my Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation doesn't mean just that it's not held against them. It wasn't recorded. It was blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is as if it was not even there. And God added Jesus' righteousness to my account so that God can't even see it. And when he sees my account, he sees the righteousness of Christ. That's what he did for them too. Guess what? Somebody that's sinful is going to get up and play the piano. Somebody that's sinful is going to teach Sunday school. Because that's all God has to use. Sinners. This is not a museum where we hang relics on the wall and say, wow, look at that. This is a hospital where sick people come to get help and get forgiven and get used by God. You Pharisees that look down your big fat snoot wanting to judge everybody, you ought to look at the mirror and look at yourself. Your judgment is worse than their sin, I promise you.
Yes, sir. That's right.
So church will teach you how to love your family. Number two, church helps us raise good children. Now, everybody look at me for just a moment. No children are perfect, not even yours. I know that's a shock. I know those of you that have three-year-olds don't believe that. Ha ha, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha. You know what? Nobody is perfect. A very wise man one day said this to me, and it helped me. God is a perfect father. And out of the billions and billions and billions of people that have been on the face of this earth, he only had one that was perfect. If a perfect father could only have one perfect child out of billions, what chance do we have as imperfect parents? Everybody doing okay? So before you judge somebody how their kids turned out, put that in your pipe and smoke it a while. You know, we so often see somebody's child and say, oh, they must have horrible parents. Have you ever seen your kid on a bad day? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't know how true this is yet. They say the benefit for not killing your kids as teenagers is called grandkids. Haven't got there yet, but man, I'm telling you what. Church is not a place for perfect children. But If they're raised in church, they have a better chance of being raised right. Church is a place to teach children to walk with God and be spiritual enough to obey. It's a place to teach mom and dad how to rear them to be obedient. Everybody doing okay? You know, children can touch the heart of God. Did you ever listen to a child pray? Ooh, it's convicting. Man, they're not afraid to ask God anything. Y'all think I'm kidding, but when I got a big prayer request, I talk to a couple kids and have them pray. Say why? Because I know God listens to them. They have pure heart. They mean it. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapters 1, 2, 3, and I believe chapter 4, and the child Samuel ministered before Eli the priest and God. He ministered to the Lord. A child. God hears children. Now, a church will help teach children the Bible so that they can have a clean life. Turn to Psalm 119, the longest chapter of the Bible. Psalm 119. Let's read just a couple verses here. We'll start in verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Parents, teach your children the Bible. Teach them to memorize the Bible. I love what Brother Logue and Brother Kishner have done in the first through sixth grade class. They have a memory verse. I have Brother Brinkerhoff's working on memory verses for the teenagers. Why? Because it's important for young people to get the Word of God in their mind so that when they need to make decisions, the Word of God can come to memory for God to use it to help them make wise decisions. Those of you that struggle the most with spirituality don't know the Bible. I'm not angry with you. I'm just telling you the truth. I live in this book. I have memorized thousands of verses in this book. Can I tell you what? When something comes up, verse just comes to mind. Verses just start popping out everywhere. You say, why? Because I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against him. Now, do I still sin? Yes, I do. But guess what? I can usually see it coming before it gets to me. And I have a better chance of not making it happen. By the way, we can teach our children that way. Amen. The Bible teaches us to obey authority. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Hey, boys and girls, I think that you ought to obey your mom and daddy. I think it's a sin for boys and girls to obey their teachers better than they do their mom or dad. Did y'all hear that? I think it's a sin for you to obey your Sunday school teacher better than your mom and dad. I'm going to go one farther. I think it's a sin for you to obey the preacher better than you obey your mom and dad. Now, I think you should obey the preacher. I think you should obey your teacher. I think you should obey your Sunday school teacher. But you are commanded by God to obey your mom and dad. You better learn how to obey mom and dad. Some of you parents need to learn to let other authorities lead your children and teach them to follow other authorities. There are employers all over the land that wish they had employees whose mommies and daddies taught them to obey all authority, not just mommy and daddy. I'm convinced of that. According to Colossians 3:22. The Bible talks about that we're to teach our children to obey their employers. You know, when I got my first job at the age of 16, full-time job, I went to work in a pizza restaurant, delivering pizzas and working in the kitchen. My dad said, if you stand still for more than 10 seconds, you get fired. He said, if there's nothing to do, pick up a broom and start sweeping. Pick up a rag and start cleaning, but do something. Man, I was scared to death I was going to get fired. I was going to high school. I was working 30 to 35 hours a week during the school week. I was delivering pizzas. I was making pizza. And we didn't have one of those fancy dough machines. He'd pull out a 100-pound bag of flour on a 6-foot table, dump that puppy out there, and we had to do all the kneading of the dough by hand. Have you ever kneaded a 100-pound bag of flour by hand before? And I'm not talking about little batches. He did it all at one time. I do 2 or 3 of those in a night. Oh, my soul. I hated doing that. There was one time it got to stinking in there. He hadn't cleaned the grease trap out in that place in about 2 years. He said, "We got to get down in that hole and clean that thing out." That is not a job to do by human beings, let me tell you. Oh, my soul. Say, what'd you do? I got down in that hole and I smelled as bad as I've ever smelled in my life. But guess what? I did it. I did it. Everywhere I've gone, I've worked. Say why? Because I believe in obeying my boss. Guess what? Do you know who? You say, well, you got it made now. You're your own boss. Do you know who my boss is? You ought to try to cut your hours on him once. He knows it all. Okay, next. Titus chapter 3 verse 1 says you should teach your children to obey all authority. You know, I'm convinced that our children need to be taught to respect police officers. I get sick and tired of people that don't respect a police officer. Bothers me to death. I have taught my children, every one of them, as they started driving and before they started driving, if you ever get stopped for any reason, this is how you handle yourself. Say why? Because I think you ought to do it with respect. They have an office in a position that deserves respect. I think we ought to respect our military. I think we ought to respect people, whether I agree with them or not, that hold public office. Now, some of them make it real hard to do. But I can respect their office even if they don't. Everybody doing okay? We ought to respect all authority. Okay, I got to move on. The church teaches us how to, with whom, and what to associate with and what not to associate with. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I have 9 minutes and 2 points. We can hurry through this. Proverbs 4 verse 14. Watch this. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn away, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Now look at me. The Bible says that we are to teach our children to stay away from evil and wicked people. There's a difference between wicked and evil. You okay back there? Amen. He can't breathe back here either. All right. Wicked people are people that are living in sinful conditions and people that are promoting sin. By the way, when people are drinking alcohol and smoking drugs and cigarettes and all the other trash of the world, living in immorality and all that kind of stuff, and they promote that, guess what? That's wickedness. Sodomy is wickedness. Okay, I don't care whether it's politically correct or not. God called it wickedness. Okay, there are certain things that are wicked. And we're not to allow our children around wickedness. Evil is something totally different. Evil is not just a little guy in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork and a pointy tail. Evil is a conspiracy to hurt or to attack someone else. That's what evil is. If I went to Brother Smith and said, "Brother Smith, you and I don't like Brother Brinkerhoff. How about we go together and we try to take him down? Let's go spread a rumor about him." Gossip is evil. Now, it's not true. I like Brother Brinkerhoff. Brother Smith doesn't, but I do. Now, wait a minute. Evil is, by the way, when you start talking bad about somebody, And let me say it this way. Even if it's what you think is truth being spread.
Yes, sir.
Bad truth is evil.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God doesn't talk about your sin. Why should you talk about somebody else's?
Yes, sir.
Why don't we follow God's example, not what we want to do? My Bible says that we're to teach our children to stay away from people that try to hurt, destroy, share negative about. When people start sharing negative around my family, we leave. We shut them up. Say why? Because I don't want to live around it. I really don't. Everybody doing okay? All right. Some of you spend time with evil people. And by the way, evil people can be saved people. I know a lot of saved people that are evil. Because all they do is run their mouth about somebody else. Well, there's a whole lot of good to talk about. Why do we have to talk about and listen to the bad? I learned a long time ago, when you don't let them talk about the bad, they don't have much to talk about.
Amen.
They really don't. They enjoy living in the garbage heap of life. They enjoy talking down somebody. Why don't we lift up Jesus? 1 Thessalians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, that means abstain from the evil crowd, evil places, the wrong dress, evil situations. Why is it that we get saved, but we want to be as close to evil as we can get? Why is it that churches are going to the world for their music, bringing rock music into their churches to say, hey, let's reach the world? They're using the devil's methods to try to get the message out. It doesn't make sense. It's all they need is the Holy Spirit, and it'll take care of itself. Everybody doing okay? Church teaches us to have a pure heart. 1 Timothy 2:22. I won't take time to read it, but listen to me very carefully. I believe you ought to read your Bible every day. I do. Some of you wouldn't go day after day without eating food. Some of you don't go hour by hour without eating food. None of us do during the holidays. But can I tell you something? How long has it been since you ate a spiritual meal from that book right there? When I was in college, I decided I would not put food in my mouth until I put food into my mind from the Word of God. I got up every day before breakfast to eat from the Word of God. Everybody doing okay? Some of y'all would starve to death if that were the case. I believe in pure living. I believe in pure thinking. I believe in pure relationships and pure friendships. Some of us need to purify our friendships. I've known a lot of people in my life. There are friends that I have that I don't spend any time with. Can I tell you why? They've changed. They believe different doctrines. They've gone the way of the world. You say, would you still be their friend? I am still their friend. I'm just not spending any time with them. I don't want to be influenced by them to go the direction they have gone. Everybody doing okay? All right, number three, and I'm done. I have 3 minutes. We need the church as much as we need our family. Because the church is our family.
Amen.
That means you should be here for Sunday school. I believe Sunday school is important to every child of God.
Amen.
I believe in it. Sunday school is a social time a little bit. It's time we fellowship a little bit. It's a little bit more casual time to learn the Bible. By the way, it's not Southern Baptist where you're going to teach the teacher the Bible. We're going to teach the Bible. It's not time where we get a bunch of questions and ask you 20 questions because we're too lazy to study the Bible. We're going to teach the Bible. Everybody doing okay? Okay. We're not going to borrow the Southern Baptist philosophy here. We're going to teach the Word of God. But you come in here on a Sunday morning, and it's bigger than any buffet for breakfast you've ever seen. Trust me. I mean, there's more food consumed here and more jawing and just a lot of foolish nonsense, having fun, enjoying one another as a family. Amen? And then we sit down and hear the Bible taught, and then we come to morning church. Amen? And then there's something called Sunday night church. No, I don't preach the same sermon on Sunday night that I preached on Sunday morning. It's a totally different sermon. Wow. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that didn't know the difference. You know, I'm to the point now where I tell people we have a different service on Sunday night, and it's not the same one from Sunday morning. The preacher preaches a different sermon on Sunday night, and they said, he does. I said, he does. How do you know? I said, I'm he. Then there's Wednesday night. We've got Wednesday night Bible study. I've been teaching a series on prayer. I've taught several other series, and it's a little bit more intensive, a little bit more like tonight, a little bit more instructive. I've been to the average Baptist church Wednesday night prayer meeting, and it's as boring as last year's Christmas tree. And by the time you walked out, you're dejected, you're depressed, you're about ready to commit suicide because everybody in the world knows somebody that's sick, dying, dead, or just got killed. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, 20 minutes of that, and you're ready to say, why'd I come to church? I came to get encouraged, not discouraged. Good night, all this bad news. I could have turned Fox News on and got this much bad news. Everybody knows a bad situation to pray about. It's time to learn the Word of God so you can get strong enough to pray for it and get people around you a little bit at a time to help you pray. Boy, that's good stuff. I believe in soul winning. I think you ought to go soul winning. I think every child of God's responsibility is to go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I believe when we have activities here, it's time to be a part of them. I realize you can't be at everything all the time. But I think you ought to be here as much as you can. Okay? I'm going to make a statement and I'm done. Church is a place where we marry the young or not so young, bury our dead, fellowship, learn the Bible, get encouraged, get motivated, get corrected. Huh, sounds like home, doesn't it? The church is family. The church is family. Thank God for Grace Baptist Church being a family. Now let me ask you a question. What are you contributing to the family? What kind of family member are you? Are you one that just shows up on holidays? That one that's always obstinate? I'm the ordinary one, but what are you contributing to the family? Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is a family. God is our Father. And God made it that way on purpose. Number one, are you part of the family of God? Has there ever been a time where you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Who'd say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I know without a doubt that I would go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, Brother Bush, if I die tonight, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? I won't embarrass you. All right. Who'd say, Brother Bush, there's something about the church. I'm not talking about between you and me or you and this building, but there's an importance level of the church that needs tonight. The reset button got set. I wonder.